Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray for Cheryl as she brings your word of what you put on her heart in the last few months. I pray, Lord God, that you will just bless her, Lord. Let her speak out what's on your heart and help us to open our hearts to catch what's on your heart. So, Lord, do business with us today, Father. In the beginning of this prayer week, I really pray, Lord, that there might be stuff that we need to catch that will take us through the week that you want to do business with us about. And, Lord, just, Lord, bring her fresh anointing and blessing as she speaks this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. There you go.
Just while you're getting, while you're filling up your coffee cups, I don't think I've pressed the button, did I? I have. While you're filling up your coffee cups, I'll do a quick recap for those of you who weren't here last week, so that you have some kind of idea of what we were talking about last week. So, undefeated is the theme. We were talking about victory, how to live an undefeated life. And the thing is, this was actually meant to be one talk, but I kind of went off on one last week. So I've had to now do part two. So that's why this is as it is. But I was using the theme of lions in talking about being undefeated. I'm going to click through some of these. This is my beautiful painting we've talked about. But for the first part, we're looking at how God didn't make us come into this world to fight battles alone, how he wanted us to join together, to unite in our forces. And so I use the analogy of lions in what we can learn from them. How do they do relationships? How do they do life? What positives can we get from what they do? And so we were looking at how they have a healthy interdependence. If you look at the way the lion and the lioness relate to each other, I'm not going to go through, these are just some of the slides I use, but they haven't got a codependent relationship, they haven't got an independent relationship, they have an interdependent relationship, which is how God intended it to be when he created the Garden of Eden. He created man and woman. He gave them different roles, but equal roles. And the quote that I used was that thing of God gave Adam and Eve dominion over everything apart from each other. And that is what we see in the way the lion and the lioness relate to each other. They are a team. They work together. They have got that oneness which God wants us to have in our human relationship. So that was one area we looked at. We then talked about the pride, the lion, how they have that pride. They unite, they join forces together, and what we can learn from that in our world and as a church, how we're there to support each other, particularly the lionesses. When they go out and hunt, they draw together, they use each other. The strong ones go on the outside, the weaker ones go on the inside, and they get the prey to a place where the stronger ones then can knock the enemy down. And that, I believe, is a real picture for us as a church of supporting each other. You know, people are weak at different times, and God, we're all strong. And that's how I believe God wants us to learn from this picture of the lion and the lioness and the pride that they have. In that as well, looking at the importance of transparency and the way that the world has misused what God intended for good, and the way that divided with the world and with the church, this thing of either we do things on our own, particularly I think with women is what I was saying, that you can just be like, do you know what, we don't need men, we're going to go our own way, you know, don't need them. There's that attitude then within the church. There's this domination, can be, where it's just like, just submit, do what you're told. And it's all been taken out of how God intended it to be. He intended us to work together as the lionesses do, and it's important, and the lions and the lionesses do, and it's important to recognize that just because we're believers, it doesn't mean we're not suffering, and it doesn't mean that we don't struggle with our emotions, with things like grief, like forgiveness, like the horrific things that go on in the world. That doesn't mean we don't have feelings. We don't, you know, that thing of like, oh, it's all right because we're all going to heaven. That isn't reality. That isn't what God is calling us to do, is just to put on this church face and say, everything's fine because Jesus is alive. Yes, he is alive. Yes, we have got the victory. But actually, it's really difficult to get a hold of that and to walk in that. And it's important that we're able to be transparent in that. So, yeah. We went through these. Right, okay, so today I'm going to move on to talking about Jesus as being the Lion of Judah. Let me explain to you this picture. I told you last week about the painting that I got, which started my whole thing about lions off when me and Mark were in Egypt. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was out with my mum in Tenterden and went by a shop window, and there was this huge painting of a lion in the window. It was about £500. It was huge, great big canvas. And I just said to my mum, I've got to have that painting. So we went into this place, met this lovely man who actually I found out since Barry is a friend of Barry's. I should have known that at the time. He might have given me a discount. But I went in there and I said, I love your paintings. They're amazing. And he's got all these paintings of different jungle animals. But the cats are his favourite. And he said that he hates being restricted to his shop. Because what he does is he goes out to the jungle, he lives there, takes all these incredible photos, and he's in this shack in the jungle with the cat, and he loves it. Takes these photos, comes back, paints them, and then he's stuck in his little shop trying to sell them. He is amazing. If you're in Tenterden, go and see this man. What's his name? Robbie Graham. He's incredible. So he inspired the title of my talk, Undefeated. I said to him, what a brilliant, brilliant title for your painting, Undefeated. And he told me that he is, before I got on the phone to Mark, he told me that he is currently painting one of a lion. It's actually got a white eye, so it's even more. You can't really see it very well on there, but the scars are all on his face. But it's even more beaten up, this lion. So we talked about the whole thing of lions and, you know, their scars and how amazing they are, and he just loves them. We had this really lovely conversation about it. Then I phoned Mark. I said, Mark, I really need this painting of a lion. Bearing in mind, I've already got one really big painting of a lion. But of course, he just said yes. I said, I mean, it's my birthday in September. So, and I didn't get the giant one. I didn't get the giant one. I got the smaller one. But anyway, he just says yes. I'm just so blessed. I've got my lion. So anyway, the lion, there he is. So I just love this picture of a lion. His eyes, so gentle, aren't they? Gentle, loving eyes. And the scars that he, you know, that he bears from what he does in that protection, that role. We all know, don't we, I'm sure, the Chronicles of Narnia and Aslan. And it's just such a perfect picture, I think, of Jesus, of what, you know, the Lion of Judah. Indeed, that's the one. And the lion, I wrote down a few things to me, you know, I thought, what does the lion symbolise to me? And I've just written down pride, power, protection, boldness, royalty, leadership, strength, courage, majesty. You know, he's the king of the jungle, isn't he? And some of those things about him that I discovered in my, like, finding out stuff about lions that I've been on this mission to do just blew me away. Like his eyesight, 5 times better than a human. You know, you can hear from a mile away. His roar can be heard over 5 miles away, I think. And it's just like, it just blows me away, you know, this animal, so looking so fierce and yet so tender, which is such a picture of Jesus, isn't it? The lion and the lamb, gentle eyes, full of compassion, and yet so fierce in his love, so fierce in his protection of us. And Jesus, yes, Jesus had that mildness, he had that love, he had that tenderness, but also he had that strength, didn't he? How he fought against injustice. How he stood up for the downtrodden, for the broken. How he roared at the Pharisees, at their hypocrisy and their judgment of others. He roared like a lion. Hosea talks a lot about him roaring like a lion. And it just excites me. It's such a beautiful picture of who Jesus is. Matthew 12, verse 20 says, he will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. Finally, he will cause justice to be victorious. And that's what we see, isn't it, in him, in this picture, there with his scars. And we can trust him. We can trust him. We can choose to trust him. You know, those wounds that have paid our ransom. Yes, he's scarred, but they're scars of victory. He surrendered, didn't he, so that there could be victory. And that's a picture for us. You know, yes, we will be scarred by our experiences in life. If we went round this room and wrote a list of everything every person in here has been through, I'm sure we've got a pretty big list of scars. And people in this room that I know are carrying the scars, but we have victory. We might wear the scars, but we have victory. Jesus still has those scars, doesn't he? A lion, he's got those scars on him. And it's important to recognise that fact that it's not all about what goes on in this life, you know, but it's Jesus will use whatever we've been through, that thing of the power of testimony, the power of what Jesus has done through us, the blood of the Lamb and the power of testimony. That's what it's about. Helen spoke a few weeks ago about that verse in Matthew that says all things are possible. And that's the truth. That's a fact. We can't argue with that. All things are possible. It's just believing it. In The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, there's a quote that says, we have nothing if not belief. And that's the choice, isn't it, that we have. Are we going to choose to believe that? Are we going to choose to believe that victory has been won? That victory is ours? Because it's our choice whether we surrender to Jesus. And it doesn't mean it's easy, as I keep saying. It's a real thing on my heart about let's not pretend it's easy because it's hard. It is a battle. The world is broken. You know, a year ago on this day, I was talking about God and his heart for justice. And I spoke about human trafficking. I spoke about FGM. God hates this stuff. The world is a broken, dark place. And so much personal freedom is being stolen, isn't it? The horrific things that are going on, how people are being persecuted, children persecuted for their faith. It's horrific what goes on. On a different level, I've just recently heard news of the ACC, who are the Association of Christian Counselors, have made a decision that they can no longer counsel people who come wanting to change their sexual orientation. So in other words, if someone came saying, look, I'm living as a homosexual, I really want to live a life of a heterosexual. Well, they don't want to deal with that anymore because it looks like they could be accused of conversion therapy, where they're sort of bashing people around the head with the Bible and saying sinner, you know, condemning homosexuality, which to me is so unethical. Because do you know what? If someone does come and say, I don't know, for example, I've had a horrific time with men, so I am living as a gay woman, but I really would like to trust men. Well, wouldn't we want to say, well, let's work that through then? You know, isn't it a bit unethical to say, no, sorry, you know, you have to just stay as you are? I mean, it wouldn't happen the other way around. So the world is messed up, is what I'm saying. The world is getting increasingly messed up, down to even the freedom of choice, freedom of having that autonomy, of wanting to make changes in our lives, is being taken from us, right around us. There's a chap, I don't actually know who this man is, but I love what he says, Albert Catrice, but I can't remember where I read it, but he says the only way to deal with an unfree world is to become so absolutely free that your very act of existence becomes an act of rebellion. Isn't that a wonderful quote? I think that is so wise. Because the truth is, in God all things are possible. All things are possible. No problem is too big. Do you know, I found out, do you know what a lion's worst enemy is? Anyone know lion's worst enemy? It's a porcupine. When I found that out, I was just like, that is brilliant. I love that a lion isn't afraid of anything that's bigger than it. You know, the lion, he is not afraid of anything bigger. He is big. God is big. All things are possible. A porcupine. Because he's recognizing the dangers that those sharp needles could have. He's recognizing it. That's what we need to be aware of, don't we? We need to be aware of the plots of the enemy. We need to be aware that he can cause damage. Let's be aware of it, but let's not be afraid. You know, let's not be afraid of something bigger than us, because he's not bigger than us. We have the authority of God. We don't need to be afraid. He is not bigger, but he has got his ways that we do need to be aware of. And he can cause us pain and does cause us pain. But in God, we do have that victory. And the truth is that nothing is too big for God. Nothing. No mountain is too high. No valley is too low. No, there's nothing that he can't do. No disease he can't heal. No bondage he can't break. He is a huge, huge God. And that's so exciting. And that doesn't mean, you know, as Helen said a few weeks ago, doesn't mean he always does that, does it? It doesn't mean, you know, we all have those moments of, come on, God, why? Why, you know, why aren't you healing this person? Why aren't you doing that? Why aren't you doing it? Well, this is where the trust comes in, doesn't it? You know, trusting him, as Helen said, in those wilderness moments. But what we do need to recognize is that he can do it. He does have the power and he does have a lion heart. He is the Lion of Judah and we are undefeated because of him. And you know what? There's some things in this world, isn't there, that people say, you just can't overcome that. You know, isn't that why people are locked in psychiatric units forever? You know, it's just like, no, we can't fix that. The world says we can't do that. God can do anything. I read this from a book called Strong at the Broken Places. It's about trauma, and it says, what was shattered can be put together again. The body is neither the survivor's sole hope for salvation nor the cause of all that went wrong. It gave the mind, heart and spirit the gift of survival. Now it deserves rest from the battle or an awakening from numbness. There comes a point, doesn't there? The body can serve us well, but there comes a point where we need to trust Jesus. We need to let it go and let God, because he can do all things. He can do anything. Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered. And that is the truth. He conquered everything through his sacrifice on the cross. So that we can say, as Paul does in Romans, for I am persuaded beyond doubt that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. He sacrificed himself for those he loved, just as we saw in the Chronicles of Narnia with Aslan. You know, so loyal, so loyal. God is so loyal. He will never, ever, ever abandon us. We can stand here, you know, as Paul was just praying with everyone, with the, you know, different... It's Father's Day, like Mother's Day. It's, these days are hard. You know, easy for those of us who have that great relationship with a dad or who are dads or whatever, but it's hard. But what we share here is that we all have the perfect Heavenly Father. And he is a just God, and he is a fair God, and he is a loving God, and he will never, ever leave us. And that is a powerful, wonderful thing that nothing can take. But there is that choice of whether we are going to trust. I found this book... my dad's library, and it's devotions for using Chronicles of Narnia for different days, and I want to read you a little section from the book The Silver Chair. Are you not thirsty? Said the lion. I'm dying of thirst, said Jill. Then drink, said the lion. May I? Could I? Would you mind going away while I do? Said Jill. The lion answered this only by a look and a very low growl. As Jill gazed at his motionless bulk, she realised that she might as well have asked the whole mountain to move aside for her convenience. The delicious rippling noise of the stream was driving her nearly frantic. Will you promise not to do anything to me if I come? Said Jill. I'll make no promise, said the lion. Jill was so thirsty now that without noticing it, she had come a step nearer. Do you eat girls? She said. I have swallowed up girls and boys, women and men, kings and emperors, cities and realms, said the lion. It didn't say this as if it were boasting, nor as if it were sorry, nor as if it were angry. It just said it. I daren't come and drink, said Jill. Then you will die of thirst, said the lion. Oh dear, said Jill, coming another step nearer. I suppose I must go and look for another stream then. There is no other stream, said the lion. It never occurred to Jill to disbelieve the lion. No one who had seen his stern face could do that. And her mind suddenly made itself up. It was the worst thing she ever had to do, but she went forward to the stream, knelt down, and began scooping up water in her hand. It was the coldest, most refreshing water she had ever tasted. You didn't need to drink much of it, for it quenched your thirst at once. Isn't that a picture of that step that we need to take to Jesus to quench our thirst, to stop digging our own cisterns that leak, as it says in Jeremiah. We have the living water of God. We have it there, and we just have to take that risk. And there is a risk with lions, isn't there? They're not safe. There is something where you have to be a little bit like, but it's a safe risk, if that makes sense. But you can't know everything. We don't know everything, or we'd be God. We have to take that step of trust, as she did with the water. Is it going to be okay? And look at what she gained. Her thirst was quenched because she took that step of seeing if, you know, her thirst would be quenched. And this is another picture, I think. This is apparently the MGM lion. Now, there's something about those men, isn't it? I don't even know if this is a real picture, to be honest, but I just thought, do you know what? Again, it's a picture of a risk. It's a bit unpredictable. Lions are pretty unpredictable, aren't they? But there's something about that taking that step, that we haven't got all the answers. It is about trust. We do have to trust that he is in control. We do have to take that step of surrendering in order to have victory. as he surrendered on the cross to have victory for all of us, is taking that risk. I don't know who said it, but they said, we cannot live in freedom unless there is unpredictability. It's a choice, isn't it? It's a choice that we have to take to have that freedom. So if we're living an undefeated life, if we're feeling undefeated, maybe we're here undefeated, feeling defeated rather, this morning, what can we do to live an undefeated life? Well, I think there's two things. I think, first of all, we can join a pride, can't we? We can make that decision not to fight alone. Two people in this room sent me this week, and I love it. It's just brilliant. Surround yourself with those on the same mission as you. Thank you for sending that, because I think that's just a brilliant picture. This is what we need to do, isn't it? Surround ourselves. And again, it's taking a risk. It's taking a risk of trusting those around you. Trustworthy people, safe people, taking a risk. And it's important to do that. The next thing, fix our eyes on Jesus, because he won't let us down. You see, people, we can all have the best intentions in the world, can't we? We can sit here and think, yeah, I really care about that person. I'll be there for them. I'll be alongside you. I'll do this, I'll do that. Well, the truth is, me along with, I'm sure, everyone in this room, we're not infallible. We get things wrong. I make mistakes all the time, and I hate it, but I do it because I'm human. But that isn't the case with Jesus. If we're wholly reliant on a pride, on each other completely, we're going to be disappointed, aren't we? We're going to be hurt. It's important to have that support, but Jesus is the one we need to fix our eyes on. He's the one that, with him, nothing is impossible. Everything is possible. He is not fallible. We are. And only he can meet those deep needs. And that's where we go back to that thing. If we look to people to meet those deep needs we have for self-worth, for significance, for security, it's going to go wrong. He's the one that we need to look at. And there's a guarantee that he will be there, that he won't abandon us. But we do need to be brave, don't we? We do need to have courage. We do need to get out the boat, as Peter did, and fix our eyes on him. Take that risk, that safe risk. I want to share something with you. I prayed after last Sunday. I prayed in the morning before I got up, and I said, God, I didn't want to be complacent and think, oh, well, that's right, because next week I've just got part two, and that's fine. I'll just carry on where I left off. I said to God, look, if there's anything you want me to say if you want to give me any fresh revelation, if you want to, you know, tell me. I don't want to just take it, you know, be complacent. So I just said that prayer. And in my heart, I had Isaiah 61 straight away, that, you know, the beauty for ashes, that whole section from Isaiah. And then when I got up and I read Word for Today, I know some of you read Word for Today, I don't know why, well, I loved it. I still get amazed, actually. I'm saying I don't know why I was amazed. But that was the verses. To bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour, to comfort all who mourn, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. You know, and it's that thing about Jesus can set us free. We need to be open to being used by him, and also for him to dig up the roots. You know, to look at what is it that's causing us to make wrong choices, to have this problem or that problem. What is that about? We need to be brave. And it is a process. Yes, God does miracles, but they're not always instant. Just because they might take years doesn't mean they're not miracles. Miracles do sometimes take years. And in this particular word for today that I had, it was about the blind man who Jesus spat on the clay and put that back to his eyes. And it was all about that thing of, do you know, we're journeying, aren't we? We're journeying in this life. It's no good us just sitting back and being hopeless and then just, well, where's the miracle? Actually, he wants us to journey forth. Keep going. Not give up. Not live an undefeated life. Yes, it's going to be difficult. But it's a journey. It's a process. And in that process, we need to be open to hearing from God. None of us are going to get there the whole way this side of heaven, are we? We're just not. You know, God is teaching us, if we hear him, God is teaching us all the time about what he wants us to do next. And Jeremiah, I was thinking about Jeremiah and how he felt so inadequate and so fearful of what people thought of him. And, you know, this grew into something for me because I realised it's very easy for us to say, I'll make it personal, for me to say, do you know, I don't really care what people think. I only care what God thinks of me. You know, I'm secure in him. I'm fine. If God approves of me, I don't need anyone else's approval. And God challenged me about that this week. And he said, yes, you do, actually. You do want people's approval. You do care what people think. And so it's been a bit of a journey where I've thought, do you know what? I do. And Jeremiah 1 verse 8 says, be not afraid of them, their faces, for I am with you to deliver you. And the truth is, yes, it should be only God's approval that matters. But we do kind of want that response from others, don't we? And I think that's something that that I maybe wasn't really facing up to. And it's strange because I realised that today, it was a year ago, as I mentioned just now, it was a year ago when I stood here and talked about the justice of God and talked about slavery, about trafficking, about FGM. And I know that there was a couple of people who didn't think that should be really talked about. I got this feedback, shouldn't really be talked about in church. And if I'm honest, this is very recent for me. Now I realise, actually, do you know what? It has made me hold back. It has made me question and hold back on my passion for fighting against those causes. Because I thought, should I be talking about that stuff in church? I've gone back. And I've had this battle going in my head for a year. And today, a year later, here I am. And do you know what? God's told me, yes, you should. Because I'm here to fight injustice. Because I'm the lion. So I stand here and I think, I've repented. I'm like, God, I'm sorry that I cared so much about what people think. And it wasn't the majority, but I like to convince myself it didn't matter to me. And it did. I did, in my humanity, want that approval. And God's saying, look to me. And I don't think it was an accident either that when I left the house on Thursday to go out with Sammy, I grabbed a book off my bookshelf. I've got many, many books. And I grabbed this one. I don't know how many of you know about Waris Deary. Anyone heard of her? I'd never heard of this woman. She's an international supermodel. She's modelled with Naomi Campbell. She's been in James Bond films. She's internationally really famous. I grabbed this book on Thursday, okay? I read it and it blew me away. This woman was circumcised when she was 5. She's had a horrific life. She ran away from Somalia when she was 12 because her father was forcing her to marry an old man. This woman didn't own a pair of shoes before she was 12. Her story, if you want to read an amazing, it's been made into a film as well. It's amazing. Let me tell you why I know God had a hand on me picking this book. Because I open it up, I get to page 1, and I'm going to read you what I read. A slight sound awoke me. When I opened my eyes, I was staring into the face of a lion. Riveted awake, my eyes stretched wide, very wide, as if to expand enough to contain the animal in front of me. I tried to stand up, but I hadn't eaten for days, so my weak legs wobbled and folded beneath me. Collapsing, I slumped back against the tree where I had been resting, sheltered from the African desert. I'm running out of time, so I'm not going to read it all. But the point is that God's saying to me, this is the broken world that you're living in. You know, you have to join together. This woman is now fighting against FGM, against female genital mutilation. Every 11 seconds, a young girl gets mutilated. Every 11 seconds. There are 38,000 young women, I can't remember the time, is it every hour, who were getting coerced or forced into marriages. You know, this woman fights against this. This is a woman that shouldn't be alive. Her name, Waris, means desert flower. That's the meaning of her name, desert flower. And for those of you who don't know, the desert flower is an amazing plant that can survive anything in the desert. She escaped into the desert. Her story is incredible. It was no accident I read this book. You know, it's no accident. And in Hebrews 13, verse 1, it says, keep on loving each other as brothers. You know, it's remembering the forgotten ones, isn't it? Remembering those who don't have anyone to stand up for them. It's all very well us sort of being all loving in our families and our secure little units. But actually, there's so many people that have just got no one. Just got no one. There is so much injustice in this world. So I think we need to be open to what God's saying to us personally, as well as a church. But as a thought, if we unite, and that doesn't mean we're all called to the same thing, but we can all say, this isn't right. We can all fight against the injustices in this world. Deuteronomy 31 verse 8 says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." You know, if we want to live in victory, we have to get out the box, don't we? We have to take some risks. God won't abandon us. But it does involve looking at painful wounds from the past and believing, trusting that we are safe in his arms, that he will protect us. When I was in Florida last year, we were on holiday, and I was trying to do an assignment, and I couldn't concentrate because I was just overwhelmed with love for God, with gratitude to God, with how he has restored me personally, what he's done with me and Mark, how he's just taken us from, you know, a broken place, and he's taken me from a broken place, and he's had victory, continues to have victory, and it blows me away. So I was just praying. Mark was off somewhere with the boys, and I was just saying to God, I was just crying, like, God, you are so good. I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe the healing that you've brought. And up in the sky at that moment, a plane was writing things like, thank you, Jesus, it wrote, and love. So I took a photo. That's a photo I took. And it's a reminder for me of how good God is, you know, what he does, how he answers prayer. Mark has a wedding ring. He didn't have a wedding ring when we first got married. When we renewed our vows, I put a ring on his finger because I wanted no one to have my lion. And I had inscribed on that ring, many dark waters cannot quench love, you know, and that is the truth. This love conquers all. Love does conquer all. It doesn't matter what you go through. It doesn't matter how much adversity you face, you know. He does conquer. Through his love, through what he did on the cross. And he will make us stronger than ever if we don't accept defeat. If we gather troops, because that's what this is about, isn't it? Gathering troops and looking to him, fixing our eyes on him. Psalm 40, David says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on solid ground. We sang those words this morning. He's given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he's done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. You know, Mark was saying, this week, you know, we've all got the opportunity to get in that room and cry out to God for whatever it is you're battling against. Cry out to God and ask the pride to pray with you as you cry out to God. Only God can heal, but we can have support. We can be used. We are vessels to be used by him. Let's draw together, because there is a battle, and the battle is hot. You know, it's a fierce battle. But, you know, I've known, most of my life has been without Jesus. So I've known life without Jesus and life with him. And I'll tell you what, I'd rather have 2 years with Jesus than 100 without. The difference is mind-blowing. Like I've said before, you know, I wanted to die. Now I just want to live. You know, choose life, it says, doesn't it, in Deuteronomy. It's so important to look at the truth. Look at the truth. Look at him as he is, the way, the truth, and the life. And there can be victory. Realizing more and more the power of declaring truths, saying it out loud. And that thing of, you know, the devil isn't like God. He can't hear everything that's going on, which is why it's important to declare truth sometimes out loud, because then he knows, especially when we unite, he knows. And I want to play a song. Just got time. All right. Really trying not to go off on one. So I want to play a song, but before that, I just want to give you an opportunity. If you don't want to do this, this is fine, because I'm really happy to do it by myself, because I need to do this, but to declare some truths together, because I'm realizing more and more how important this is. So, can I put these words up first, Danny? Is that all right? Sorry. It's because I'm jumbling things around. I'm jumping things around so that I finish on time. Mark doesn't come and grab the microphone off me. So if you would like to stand and join me in declaring these truths, please do, because I think there's real power in that. You know, saying to the enemy, we're not going to have this any longer. We're going to unite. And I think it's a really good way to start this prayer week, going into that prayer room and saying these words. So let's just say these together. God, we want to honour you in this place. Thank you for being the lion and the lamb. We love you and choose to walk in your ways. We want to live an undefeated life. We claim the victory you died for us to have. We stand in our identity as your children, united as a family in the battle against the enemy. We look to you to meet our needs for security, self-worth, and significance. Please strengthen us by your Spirit and use us to bring light where there is darkness. Amen. I just want to play this song for you, and then I'll just say a closing prayer.
Tomorrow together, I can learn to fly. Feel
God, I want to thank you. Thank you so much for what you did for us on that cross. Thank you that you surrendered yourself so that we could have victory. Thank you so much, God, for that sacrifice you made. And thank you that we can have that victory if we fix our eyes on you. God, like the words of that song say, sometimes it does feel like we're living in the lion's mouth. But the lion is an angel, and I thank you for that truth. Thank you for that truth of knowing that you care so very deeply. God, I pray that this week, every person in this room would fix their eyes on you. Whatever any of us are facing, let us know that victory is possible if we take that step into your arms. We don't need to stay in the lion's mouth, God. You gave all so that we could be free. Help us to live an undefeated life, God, I pray. Amen.